chapter number 24 this morning. I want to bring a message on Luke chapter number 24. And I want to bring you a message this morning I believe will help you if you'll give me your undivided attention just for a few short minutes. Jesus said something here after He rose from the dead. He was not just a spirit. He had a body and does right now have a body in heaven. A physical body, a spiritual body, without flaw or fault. And here in the Word of God, I want to talk about one part of Him that I'm going to preach about this morning. Luke chapter 24, look at verse 39. Jesus said, "Behold, when He rose from the dead, My hands and My feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." One thing He said was, "Behold My hands." My hands. I want to preach this morning about the hands of Jesus. The hands of Jesus. He had, and when you see Him, you will see the literal hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hands are something at the end of our arm that we depend on a lot. To grab things, to pick up things, to feed ourselves. Now, if you're an evolutionist, that just evolved out there by pure accident. You didn't used to have them. It used to be like a little nub. We was a tadpole or something. And then we evolved hands. You know, that's ridiculous. There's no scientifically way possibly that could be true. But Jesus Himself had hands. And when He rose from the dead, He said, "Behold My hands." I want to say four or five things about the, maybe six, about the hands of Jesus. Number one, I want to say that His hands were blameless hands. Blameless hands. No other man in the world could say that. None of us in here this morning could say our hands are absolutely blameless. Nobody in here. But Jesus could. Think about that. He never touched one thing that He shouldn't have touched. Never put His hand on one thing that was wrong. He did the opposite. He touched the blind man and helped him and healed him. He touched the coffin that day. He touched it with His hand. And that boy got up out of that coffin with His hand. He done His obligation, paid His taxes, told Peter yet, took the money and paid what He owed the government with His hands. Absolutely honest. His hand never took one thing that did not belong to Him. Like my mom always told us, she said, "Don't take nothing that don't belong to you." She always said, "Don't take a bobby pin." You heard me say that. Mom said, "Don't take a bobby pin if it don't belong to you." And that's stuck in my head all these years. Not a penny. You say, "Well, a little bit don't matter." That's the monitors on this little one. The mom said, "Don't take one thing that does not belong to you." That's what she said. And that's what Jesus did. He never took His hand and struck another person. He never dealt a hand of cards in a gambling game. Jesus never one time took a beer or alcohol and lit with His hand and put it to His mouth. Never, ever one time. Jesus never did that. Jesus never took a lit a cigarette. Jesus never rolled a joint. But Jesus never took a needle and shot it in a not one time. His hands, ladies and gentlemen, were blameless. He said that we're supposed to be that way. We're supposed to do our best. He said, "I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands." Lifting up holy hands. You know why? You know why we do our hands like this? We lift. What we're doing is saying, "Lord, my hands are open. You can have anything that I have. You own me." That's why we throw our hands like that when we praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, His hands were blameless. I want to say second this morning. Not only were they blameless hands, they were blessing hands. He blessed everything He touched. Have you ever heard somebody say, about somebody, they'll say, man, that guy ruins everything he touches. You ever heard that? And then you hear somebody else say, everything he touches turns to gold. And that's the way the Lord was. Everything he touched was blessed. Everything. It did not matter what it was. If Jesus touched it, it was made perfect. It was made whole. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 13 through 16, the Bible said he took little children and he took them up in his hand like this, and the Bible said he put his hand on those little children. It ought to be the prayer of every man, woman in here today that the Lord Jesus would put his hand on your child. That would be the greatest thing. Don't pray that they'll get rich. Don't pray that they'll get educated. It's okay if they do that. You pray the Lord will put His hand on them. His hand's a blessing. Glory to God. I'd rather my kids be blessed by the Lord and His hand be on them than any other thing I can imagine. Now listen, I read a story, and you've heard stories similar to this. This famous musician, they called him Old Bull, Norwegian musician back in the late 1800s. And this man was one of the most well-known musicians of his day on a violin. He was lost one night in the woods, and he's coming through this part of the country he didn't know much about, and he stumbled upon this old hut out in the woods, and there was an old beggar lived there. And he knocked on the door for some shelter. Man opened the door, and he come in. He said he had a big old fireplace burning there, and like an old hermit, lived there and didn't hardly have much, and there sat the great violinist Old Bull in his living room. And they sat there for a little while and talked, and he said that old man pulled out an old scratched up, dusted up old violin. And he said, you know, this old thing ain't much. It's out of tune. He said, it don't matter. And he went, made some old scratchy sounds on it and stuff like that. And he said, this thing ain't worth nothing. And you know what? The old master violinist over here, he said, let me see that thing. He took that thing a little bit. He tuned it a little bit. Ding, ding, ding. Messed with it. Took it, put his hand on it like that. He wiped it off a little bit. And he got that little thing you play it with. And boy, he went across that thing. And they said, beautiful music filled that room. That old guy started crying. And he said he never heard such music in his life. They didn't have tape players, CD players, MP, TV, radio, nothing. And that music filled that room. And he said, I could not believe it. You know what made the difference? With this old crusty, messed up violin, or this old guy didn't know how to do nothing with it. What made the difference? Why did that beautiful music come out? It was one thing. It was the touch of the Master's hand. His hand got on that violin. I'm going to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way some of us were. We was an old crusted up sinner. The devil had us. We wasn't worth a dime to nobody. Can't you identify with that? I tell you something, brother. One night when I was 18 years old, the Master got a hold of me, tuned on me a little bit, and he brought forth some pretty music. And what made the difference is his hand of blessing on my life. I'm glad for the hand of the blessing of the Lord on my life. More than I'd rather have the approval of men, more than I'd rather have a big ministry worldwide, all I want is His hand upon me. And I know that'll be enough when His hand's upon me. His hand's blessed. Amen. His hand is a symbol of love. I told somebody this week, They called me and asked me about disciplining their child. They said, when should I spank my child? And I said, well, when they're girls, you can wait till they're 6 weeks old, but you got to start a lot earlier with boys. And, they're meaner. And I was just kidding, but I said, the Bible teaches that you're to discipline them with a rod, a little hickory switch, the rod of correction, all the way through. And the Bible never teaches that you hit a child with your hand. It won't work. It's not scriptural. And they're not supposed to fear your hand. The Lord's hand is a hand of blessing. Your hand, when you throw your hand to your child, they should know you're going to hold them like this. They shouldn't do like that, because your hand is a symbol of blessing. And so the Lord's hands were hands of blessing. Amen. The touch of the Master's hand. We are His hand. You know that we are God's hand in this world. When we take groceries to a family that needs them and set them down like that. We're His hand. When you pat a little bus kid on the head and say, we're glad you're here. We went out on bus route yesterday and seen those kids. And Kelly had a bag of candy, and she'd take out some candy and give it to them. You know what? That's the Master's hand given out. He's up there. We are His hands down here. When you put your money in that offering plate a while ago, you're being His hands given to the work of the Lord. When you open your Bible and turn them pages, you're doing what His hand. Listen, hey, I want my hands to do what He would do with His hand were He here in the flesh. Amen? His hands were hands of blessing. But I want to say thirdly this morning, they were barren hands. Bearing hands. They laid a weight and a burden. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 23, the Bible said He reached down and took the blind man by the hand and lifted him up. They were bearing hands. They were helping carrying the load. They helped. They helped. I got to thinking the other night, when we was moving all that stuff out of the fairground, and everybody was, you was moving all them chairs, you were stacking them on that truck. We brought them back over here, and they we carried all that stuff in here late Sunday night. You know whose hands did that? Mine and yours. You know who they represent? His hand. They were bearing hand. They were bearing hand. Every time you grab one of these little kids and say, honey, we're glad to see you here at church this morning, and pat them on the head. Every time you help prepare a meal for a family where someone has died, or someone has passed away, or go see somebody, or help. Brother Bo, some of his family's here this morning, his daughter and family here today. And Brother Bo's been gone, is it 3 years now? Today's his birthday, and they're here today in honor of Bo. Used to sit right there, and brother, you know what? When we went down there and we seen him, I put my hand on him and I prayed. You know what? Those are bearing hands. We are God's hands. We are the Lord's hands here in this world today. And every time you help somebody, every time you give, every time you open that hand like that, you are His hands down here. Every time you take, you're not representing His hand. They are bearing hands, ladies and gentlemen. They are bearing hands. They bore the weight and the burden of the cross. You know, when Jesus was growing up, the Bible said Joseph was a carpenter. His daddy was a carpenter. So no doubt, the Lord Himself learned the trade of being a carpenter when He was young. Here's Jesus, no doubt. You see these pictures of Jesus where He's on the cross or He's on there and His hands are about that wide, looked like a girl, and His hair red, and His skin's real white, and He looked like that. That ain't the way He looked. He had a man's hands. His hands were rough. His hands had calluses on them. He worked with wood. He could use a saw like that, and saw that piece of wood. You know what He done? They were bearing hands. There's no doubt in my mind His hands were rough. It was a man's hand. It was a man's hand. Now, these pictures will give you the wrong idea. These movies that they make will give you the wrong idea of Jesus. He didn't walk around like He was about high on drugs or something like, blessed be the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That's what they make Him. I mean, He didn't act like that. I mean, He wasn't high on crack. I'm telling you, brother, He was a man. And He's in His right mind. And the Bible said He stood and cried. That's right, brother. He's hot like I am saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. There wasn't a sissy bone in His body. He was a man. He could saw a log. He could drive a nail. Brother, He was a man with hands that are right. I heard about this little girl. She said, her daddy was trying to hold her hand. And her daddy was holding her hand. And her hand was real little. And her daddy's hand was real big. And her hand, she'd just lose it in his, you know. And they was walking through a dark street corner one night. I was walking down through there. And she was scared. And she said, Daddy, have you got me? And her daddy just had her little hand like I'd do one of my fingers, you know. Here, her hand just swallowed his. He said, I got you, honey. And she said, Daddy, are you scared? And he said, no, I'm not scared. And she said, all right, if you ain't scared, I'm not either. And she knew, if Daddy's all right, then I'm all right. Daddy's okay with this, I'm okay with it. And that's the way way we are. He said, no man will pluck you out of my hand. He's got his hand on us this morning. Our hand's in his hand. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, brother. Amen. I mean, get a hold of his hand. Put his hand on yours. And you say, I'm scared. Lord, are you scared? No, I ain't scared. Well, if you ain't scared, I ain't scared. And I'm going to tell you this morning, he ain't scared. I know times are rough. Brother Jimmy mentioned how bad things are. I showed you to youth rally how bad the world is and things are bad, but he ain't scared. And if he's not scared, me and you ought not to be scared. Amen. His hands, I'm telling you something, brother. Your hand is a bearing hand. Not to hurt people with. Not to do damage to people with. I remember the other night, I hadn't seen the news in weeks, really. As I was trying to get caught up, the world didn't blow up before the youth rally. We'd heard about it. And I was trying to get caught up on the news. And I hate to tell y'all this, but I'd heard about them riots. Somebody sent me a text said, man, they're burning down the buildings in Baltimore and they're killing people and they're burning cars, shooting cops and everything. And so I thought, well, I'm going to turn the TV on. And when I got TV on, I can't stand to leave it on the same channel 30 seconds maximum. I'll flip something else, flip something else, flip something else, flip something else. Because it's all about, and I was going back and forth all the news channels trying to see what was happening up there, and they were showing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. The news media's job is to incite a riot. That's what they're called to do, and to stir up hatred between the races and between the youth and the adults and the police and the population. That's their job, stir up hatred. And I was watching on there. I tell you this, but a show caught my eye, and they had this girl on there who has put a thing on YouTube and on the internet, and she's 18 years old. And they put her on there, and they said her boyfriend hits her and beats her, and she, that nut has convinced her that that's a sign of love. And she said, I know he loves me when he hits me. And they had all this panel here saying, you stupid girl, that guy don't love you, he's hitting you, and everything, you know. And I thought, yeah, you bunch of hypocrites. Y'all are a bunch of hypocrites. You was on there talking about how great 50 Shades of Filth was here about 2 months ago. And that's what it's about. Don't look down, I'll tell you when to pray, if you're a hypocrite here this morning. That movie endorses men hitting women. And that's all right. And they were saying, oh, you shouldn't let him do that. You should. And I agree. Your hand ain't supposed to hit somebody. A man that would hit a woman ought to be in jail. Amen? And they were saying, she was saying, but I know my man loves me when he hits me and he tells me he loves me. And they said, she said, what should I do? I said, I'll tell you what, I wish they'd let me say one sentence. I said, I'll tell you what you ought to do. Next time he's asleep, get you a little baseball bat and show him how much you love him. Say, honey, you love me? I really love you. Crack! You're noggin, bro. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. That is not what our hands are for. That is not the hands of Jesus. No, sir. That is not the hands of Jesus. The hands of Jesus helped. The hands of Jesus uplift. The hands of Jesus helps people and lifts them out. I'm glad he lifted me out one knot of my sins. Will you say amen? Amen. Number four, they were bleeding hands. They were bleeding hands. My soul. We tread on holy ground here as the Lord Jesus put out His hand that day and deliberately allowed them to drive nails through His hand. He suffered and He bled for you and me. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. I can't even imagine how His hands, how it would hurt. Now, some of you know, When I got shot when I was 15 years old, a friend of mine, I got shot right here in the hand. You can still see a little scar right there where it went in and right there where it came out. My friend, we went camping that night, and me and these boys, and we had slept out in a tent, and his daddy had a .22 pistol, and he kept it in a drawer in the dresser. We came in the next day, and his daddy had it target shooting the day before, and he didn't know it had four bullets in it. Six holes, four bullets. Well, this guy, my friend, I was standing in his bedroom, and he was digging out some sots out of the drawer. And I was sitting there, and we'd been out that night, and I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved till I was 18. If I'd have died, I'd have went to hell right then. And he pulled that pistol out and pointed it right at my chest. And he just playing around with it like that and pulled the trigger. And it was one of them holes right toward here. It didn't go off. Then he pulled it out there and he said, "You want me to shoot you?" And I said, "That's exactly the way." He said, "You want me to shoot you?" And I said, "Get that thing away from me." And I put my hand out like that, and when I pushed it away, and pow! He pulled that trigger again, and it went right through there. And it went right by, and when it went through my hand, I was standing up. He was sitting on the bed, and it knocked me around like this. I went all the way around, and up against the wall, and blood was just running out of my hand. All I can remember, it's like I sort of lost, you know, for a second there, you don't even realize what's happening, you're in shock. And I was only 15, and I went walking through the hall like this, and his mother come down the hall and went, "Whoo!" like the pious out. And they put, his daddy was mowing grass, and they put me in the car and took me up out of the old hospital in Marion. And I remember my hand was, I'm telling you, Lord have mercy. Let me just tell you something. You see all these old movies where John Wayne and all them guys, they get shot in the shoulder with a .44. And ride a horse 20 miles and fight Indians, that's a bunch of bull. You ain't gonna ride no horse, no 20 miles and fight Indians. Listen, I'm pretty tough to be so little, but you ain't gonna ride no horse. I guarantee you ain't gonna ride no horse 40 miles and fight Indians. It hurt. I laid there and I sat there in Marion Hospital, and a big old pool of blood was right there. It's like I'd bled to death before they ever got to me, about 45 minutes. And they took me in there, and the doctor examined it, and he said, "There ain't no bones broken." Went right between them bones. And he said, "There ain't nothing we can do for you." And they put me in the hospital and gave me some medicine and put it up on pillows like that because it swelled up. And I'll never forget, Daddy stayed all night within the hospital that night. And I got to go home the next day, and I'm telling you, brother, it hurt. Lord have mercy. We just starting basketball practice, and the coach wouldn't let me play ball. And I said, "Well, I'm going to play anyway." And I put it in a sling like that. And so I was out there playing ball like that. About that time, ball went by, and I hit it like that right there. It hurt. It hurt. And I'm telling you, that was involuntary. I did not mean to do that. And that was just a little tiny 22 bullet went through there in a split second. I can't imagine a big old rusty nail that long in your hand and you hanging. I can't imagine. Listen, you talk about throwing up. You talk about going into shock. You talk about, I'll tell you, that's what he did. He put his hand. I wouldn't have done that on purpose. There's no way I'd have done that willingly. But he put that hand out there, and he put that hand out there, and he let them beat nails in his hands for you. For you. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, for letting them beat those nails through your hand. They were bleeding hands this morning. If there's anything the world ought to make us want to do right, if there's anything in the world ought to get us out to church and faithful to God, it ought to be the love that He hath. We love Him because He first loved us for it. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm glad He loved me enough to let him make His hands bleed for me. You ought to shout about that this morning. Lord, you've got something to be happy about. I don't glory in anything but the cross. The cross where the Lord's hands were bleeding. I want to say, number five, they were beckoning hands. They're beckoning hands. That's expression of His love. John 7:37, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." Amen. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. His hand reached further down than I could reach up. I like that song. His hand reached further down than I could reach up. You know, in the song says, "I cried so hard, tried so hard, but I couldn't touch Him." There was a time in your life when you needed Him. You couldn't reach Him, but He could reach you. You could reach up and say, "Lord, I'm in a mess. Lord, my life's all messed up. God, I've messed it up. I've just made a mess out of my life. And I'm going to reach up." His hand reached further down than you can reach up. He can reach you this morning. I don't care what kind of sin you've been in. He can reach you. I don't care what kind of mess you're in. You may have a drug problem, alcohol problem. You may be in a messed up relationship. You may be in all kinds of mess this morning. I'm telling you, there's somebody here today that can reach down with His mighty hand and pull you out and help you and straighten. It's a beckoning hand. Amen? That's the way the youth rally is. It's a beckoning hand. That's the way the bus rides are. It's a beckoning hand. He wants us to extend our hand. Yesterday, I was at this guy's trailer over yonder on exit 104, and I walked in this trailer. There's a man sitting there, another man sitting right there. I had no idea. He said, this is Pastor Danny. He's Pastor Church down here. I said, good to meet you, sir. And I forgot what he told me his name was. He had a gray beard and hair, long hair and everything. He looked at me and he said, you mine? I said, yes, sir. Sure I am. He said, I know you. I said, really? I said, he told me his name. I didn't know. He said, 30 years ago, you picked me up hitchhiking. And you talked to me. He said, you had a little blonde-headed girl with you. That's her sitting right over there. He said, you had a little blonde-headed girl with you. Your daughter. And I said, yep, that was Carrie, my daughter. He said, you picked me up and talked to me. And you know what? I had no idea who that guy was. But he remembered that. He remembered that. Somebody just reaching out a hand. You know, sometimes you think, it don't matter if I witness. It don't matter if I visit. It don't matter if I get off track. But we are an extension of the Lord's hand. Like He went around and touched people and healed people in the Bible. We are His hands to the people you work with right now. He don't drop food out of the sky. He uses our hands to give it to people. He don't run buses. We run them. We are His hands in this world. He wants us to extend it. Number six, and I'm through. I said, they're bleeding hands. They're beckoning hands. They're blameless hands. They're blessing hands. I want to say lastly, they're building hands. He's a builder. He's a carpenter, you know. Now what the Lord's doing right now is He's building a church. That's why I said what I did about the church a while ago. The church is the most important thing in this world. There is nothing in the world more important than God's church. I'm glad I'm a part. I'm glad I got hooked up. When I first got saved, there was a bunch of hippies got saved out in California. And they were all, they still had long hair, and they said you could find God and smoke pot and read the Bible and you'd learn stuff. You'll learn something all right, but it ain't God. And they'd all sit around like this, you know, cross the leg and play the guitar and go, oh Jesus, He loved me. No, He don't condemn us. Nothing's a sin. We just love the Lord, love the devil. You know, crazy people like that. And I remember that was real popular when I first got saved. And I remember I got in the church and I went down there to the camp meeting and them old men of God got up and they preached. And they said, upon this rock, I will build. He's got building hands. And I'll build my church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Now I'm glad, listen, the church has got our faults. We've got our faults, buddy. But I'm going to tell you, this is God's building. Now, I ain't talking about these walls in here. I'm talking about me. Oh, Jimmy here. You know what God did when Jimmy got saved? And Angela, He put another brick in the wall of His church. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm glad He put me in. He got a hold of old Jeremy right here, down there listening to me on the radio one day. He come up and got saved. I mean, Jim here, Peanut, Dot, Dave, Brother Fred, Barbara, all y'all. You know what? Your bricks were all like a brick in that wall right there. He's a builder, brother. His hand will build. Every little boy and girl gets saved. He puts them in the body of Christ. Thank God they're building hands. He builds lives. You're part of God's building. He's a carpenter. And guess what? Before He left, He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. If He built the whole world and the universe in 6 days, what could He build in 2,000 years? Whoa! Built more houses? Are you kidding? Listen, we're going to have one to make that place look like somebody's outside toilet. We're going to have one that will knock your eyes out one of these days. What they fight over out in Hollywood, we'll walk on out there. Up there. Gold streets. Here's the Lord calling the paving crew. The streets are made of gold. Not paved with gold, made of gold. All the way down. Big old mansion that's perfect. Won't never get no termites. Won't never get no leaks in the roof. Won't never get no cracks in the windows. We'll have perfect peace. He's building us. Them building it. He built it with His hands. And brother, when we get there, we'll see those hands that built our mansion and that died on the cross. And the only thing in heaven that man made will be them scars in His hands. That's His hands. That's His hands. He's got some hands, you got to admit. He's building for you and for me. He's building lives. He's building mansions. He's building a place. The question is this morning, are you a part of God's building? The Bible says we are His building. We're His building. He's got building hands. I want to ask you a question this morning. As I close, they're coming to get us a song. Can I ask you a question? Are you right now, are you in God's plan for your life? You say, I don't know, preacher. Well, come up here and say, Lord, I give you everything. I ain't holding nothing back. Lord, if I ain't in your will, I don't know it. Come up here and say that this morning. Let's give our life brand new, fresh to Him in His hand. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're standing to sing this morning. Will you let